today. We're blessed. I've been announcing it for a couple weeks. We're going to have Daniel Messiah from Open the Gates Ministries. I tell you, he's been here, and he's stayed at my house the last few times he's been here, or every time, I think. He's been here maybe four times, and he's like a Barnabas. He's really been encouraging, you know, over the last few times he's been at my house. Every time he's been at my house, I'll see him with his Bible open with my kids. He'll be praying with them, reading with them, talking to them. Just really an encouraging guy. And everything he's been through and stuff he has to share, it's been encouraging. He's always stirring my kids up. When we fellowship with people, he's stirring them up. And I'm blessed to be able to bring him here and to stir the body up and to encourage the body. So I'm glad he's here. So I want to welcome Daniel Messiah from Open the Gates.
Hey, come on, guys. You can do better than this. Praise the Lord. Okay, it seems like every year I need to show you how is the African shouting praise the Lord. Can you show them how is those African shouting praise the Lord? Okay, church, let us stand, and I will videotape you, as I do in every church, you know, and I will show it to the African, you know, when I go there, how is American are shouting praise the Lord, okay, and you guys will be all over, you know. We have a TV satellite going to millions of people, and today is 16 years of your church, right? And you need to jump upside down, you know. You can do whatever you want today, just for today, you know. And let me start my camera, and when I count one, two, three, you shout. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 At least this time is better than last year. You know, have a seat, please. This is the way I wanted you to do when you go around, and if you see a mosque, you just go shout with all your power, praise the Lord, and they will kill you, but that's okay. You know where you're going, right? You're going straight to heaven. And I'm delighted to be here, and I love you guys. I love your pastor, Pastor Jeff, and Donal, and Pastor Harley. And I didn't know if you have the whole full story about how I ended meeting Pastor Harley 4 years ago. You know, I was thinking I'm going to New Jersey church, because the pastor there, his name is Harry. And somehow when I called Harley, I was thinking Harley is Harry. And he told me, oh, yeah, we waiting for you, you know. And I told him, send to me your address. And he texted to me. And I was at that time in Old Bridge in New Jersey. And when I saw the address, it's 5 hours and a half. I said, this cannot be Harry. This is a different pastor, you know. But it's a long story. I was thinking it's set up by Muslim to drag me here and to hurt me, you know. And even when I met him at the main street and out of the highway, I did not even want to come in his car. I said, you go with your car, I'll follow you, you know. But until he parked in his house and I saw those kids coming out, you know, I start to feel release. You know, I say, praise the Lord. That's a real church here, you know. And since then, we became friends. And thank you for supporting the ministry. Every year, Your church stand beside us, and we have a great work God is doing using Open the Gates. How many of you heard me before? Raise your hand. Okay. How many did not hear me before? Raise your hand. Okay. I don't know if you remember how I came with the name Open the Gates. Many years ago, I believe in 30 years ago, I like to smuggle Bible between Spain to Morocco, North Africa. And I took around 500 Bibles in my trunk, and I grabbed an American missionary. I told him, come with me. We'll go to smuggle those Bibles in Morocco. He was afraid. And I told him, don't be chicken. Come on, come with me in the car. And I pushed him, and we started driving. And I don't know if you heard that all Middle Eastern country, they love Egyptian. And I'm from Egypt. And they consider us the Hollywood of the Middle East. They consider us very funny. Anyway, me and my missionary friend start approaching the gates of Morocco. And the soldier stopped us. And he asked me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Egypt. Immediately, he said, tell me a joke. And I start thinking about a good joke. And finally, I gave him a joke. He started laughing. And he said to the rest of the soldiers, open the gates to this guy. He didn't search my trunk. And that's how I end with over 400 Bibles inside Morocco, and we start giving it to people. I love to give Bibles. I love to use opportunity where we are to share the gospel with people, Muslim, non-Muslim, anyone come to our way, we will share the gospel with them. How many of you got our newsletter? I will share briefly about what God is doing in Open the Gates. We affiliated now with Calvary Chapel Bible College in California, and we started the first Arabic Bible college in California. And praise the Lord, that's a great step. And you can always go to calvarychapelabc.com. ABC stands for Arabic Bible College. And we will start next semester in September, and we offer credits like Calvary Chapel in Marietta offering credit. And we need your prayers, because my vision is to see hundreds of Arab Christian learning the Bible and train in our college and got released here to plant churches and also in Middle East. And I will appreciate your prayer. Second thing happened, me and my wife, we start organizing an event called Wake Up America. And basically, we try to wake up churches for Muslim agenda. You know, we have over 15 million Muslim living in the United States. And me and my wife, we were in England, and we saw Muslim almost taking over England and France. We were in France too. And the bad news is, Belgium now under an Islamic government. You know, the whole government in Belgium right now is a Muslim government. And they now working to close churches in Belgium. And my fear is, if they did that in Europe with this number of Muslims, they will do it in England. England has the most number of mosques in the history of Europe. You know, the mayor of England is a Muslim. The mayor of London is a Muslim. And they moving inside out to take over governments, offices, and even in the United States. My fear is, you know, they are going slowly in our Congress, in our even Homeland Security, in many, many places. They taking a space inside to rule and take over United States and Europe. And we did this event called Wake Up America. We share with many churches and many people all over the country regarding Muslim agenda and how we need to stop them by reaching out to the Muslim population. And it's very easy to reach Muslim. Just the church need to wake up. You know, in England, it come to my mind, my wife, by the way, this is my beautiful wife. I forgot to introduce her. Can you stand? Janine. And we always walking, you know, in new places. And she saw a church, like a Catholic church. And she told me, let us go inside this church and meet people and talk with them. And we went inside a church, and they having a meeting, I believe was some woman meeting, and we waited. After the meeting, they took us to the cafeteria for a cup of tea. And the lady who was sitting with us, she said, oh, you know, last week, guess who was speaking in our church? And I believe this was in Scotland, correct? Scotland church. And she said, guess who was speaking in our church last week? I said, who? She said, a Muslim imam. They're inviting Muslim imams on Sunday to speak in churches, you know? And I said, and what happened? She said, oh, he was very nice, and he talked about Islam, and he teach us about Islam, and Islam is a peaceful religion, and all of this. And I start taking the veil of Islam and share with this lady the truth about Islam. Told her, by the way, I was a Muslim convert, and I studied Islam, and I pray 5 times a day. I used to do that, going to the mosque, shouting, death to America, death to the Jew, and very fanatic in Islam, and Jesus changed me. And the minute I start sharing with her, the lady, she started feeling uncomfortable, and she told me, oh, sorry, you know, I think he was a very nice guy, you know, and his wife. And I said, they will appear that in the beginning, because they wanted to go to your church and to give the message of Islam. Can you show us a Wake Up America video, please?
A large section of the building is blown out.
Oh, another one just hit. Something else just hit. A very large plane flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision. Can you see it?
I saw a large plane, like a jet.
Perhaps nothing has connected violence to radical Islam more than the event of 9/11/2001. It was by the terrorists' own admission and their leader Osama bin Laden in active jihad, their calling laid out in the pages of the Quran. The majority of terrorist acts around the world and attempted attacks in the United States have carried the same destructive message.
It commend Muslim to kill Christian and Jew. And if anyone does not submit to Islam, must be killed.
Daniel Messiah is a former Muslim from Egypt. He was raised in a hostile environment of allegiance to Muhammad, to a God he never really knew. Then came his remarkable conversion to Jesus Christ.
Suddenly, great presence of the Lord was in my room, and I felt Jesus in my room, hugging me, even his face next to my face. And his voice is saying to me, yes, I am your daddy.
Messiah suffered for his newfound faith, beatings from his own family, ready to be killed in the streets of Egypt and prison.
And the attorney general was very upset after I shared with him my 3 questions. And he signed my paper to spend 8 months in the prison, in solitary confinement. No bed, no cover, no toilet, My toilet was a coffee can with sharp edges. And I praise the Lord because he stand beside me. And I didn't get any disease during the 8 months. No skin disease. And I felt God's presence with me.
That hope, acceptance, and love remain impenetrable and is the reason he formed his San Diego-based ministry called Open the Gates, reaching out to Muslims around the world who are finding the same life-changing faith by the millions.
For example, we have millions of Muslims converted in the Middle East, 3 million Muslims converted in Egypt, 1 million in Iraq, 1 million in Iran, 130,000 in Algeria. In Africa, every year, 6 million Muslims converted to Christianity.
Open the Gates' mission is simple, reaching the Muslim world, not just in the Middle East. The United States is seeing rapid growth among Muslim communities. Daniel Messiah's ministry, teaching churches and other Christians the intricacies of Islam, the Muslim community, and how to engage a Muslim with a prime objective, to lead them to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. The numbers that have now been reached by Open the Gates are astonishing. Its weekly TV program is seen by thousands of Muslims.
And I'm study, and I say I want to go and study the Sharia law. I like, you know, to be imam.
تعتبر معجزة كبيرة جدا جدا إنه الواحد يكون مسيحي.
You imagine that you have this encounter with the creator of heaven and earth?
Praise the Lord.
How can I deny?
What's up? What's going on? I said, Dad, I'm going to follow another God. I'm not longer one to be with Allah.
And I took my hijab off and I tore it. And I screamed out loud. I said, God, are you there? I was yelling because I was looking for love all my life.
Now, Daniel Messiah would like to take the gospel message to every house in the Middle East through the satellite, also covering the United States, Mexico, and Canada. We are asking you to partner with Daniel in financially supporting this exciting RockSat ministry. Through this, we can show God's love in a visible way to the Muslim world.
Muslims are behind closed doors. Doors of hatred, doors of rejection, doors of fear. And God is calling us, calling me, to go and open the gates and bring those Muslims to experience God's love and the freedom in Jesus Christ. And God gave us the opportunity through the RockSat to go in every Muslim house in the Middle East without the government resisting the message of God. And we asking you to help us and to support us, to support the RockSat to go to the end of the Middle East.
With the public confusion by Islam's polar message of acceptance and violence, Messiah says there's a lot of work to do to both educate the Christian community and to reach the Muslim world for Christ.
Amen. And the Lord is doing awesome job among refugees. In San Diego, my wife started something called Tea Party, bring many refugees, women with American women, and they start showing them the love of God. And she came to me after the first Tea Party she did, and she said, you know, they were praying with some refugees women, and after prayer, one of the Muslim Syrian refugees, she came to her and said, while you guys praying, I felt stuff falling down from me. And I start feeling heat in my body. And I believe that's the healing of God going through their life through prayers. And I encourage you to pray for the Muslims, pray for us, for what we're doing. And if God put in your heart to pray and support this ministry, please do so. Let us open Ezekiel chapter 37. And my message this morning will be the impossible. God wanted to do impossible thing in your life. Again, I would share about my wife, you know. She is a very interesting person, you know. Every time we drive anywhere, she looking to everything. I am not that guy. I will look, you know, for everything around me, but she will look around her in details. And one day, I forgot my Bible in Quakertown. I was preaching in Philly, and then I went to pick my Bible from Quakertown. And while we are going, driving, she saw an auction sign. And she said, please, please, I never have any experience with auction. Can we go? And I said, honey, we are here to preach, not to go to the auction. You know, she said, please, please, I wanted to know about auction. What's going on in auction? I said, okay. And we went inside, and what she was really wanted to buy is a little iron. It's like $3 or $2. And we asked when you guys will call the iron. She said, the person in charge of the auction said, in 2-3 hours. And I told her, honey, I can't wait 2-3 hours, you know, to buy an iron. We can buy it from any place, right? She said, okay. And while we are leaving, suddenly we saw a car for sale in the auction. And she told me, Daniel, there is a car for sale in auction. She was thinking, because we travel a lot in East Coast once a year, and we paying a lot of money for rental cars, she got an idea, hey, if we can buy this car from the auction, it will save us money. And she started sharing the idea. I said, you know, I didn't know about buying a car in Pennsylvania, and we are in California, you know, registration and all of this, headache, and we'll not drive it back, you know. And she said, just let us see how much. I told her, okay, here's the deal. If it goes over 2,000, we will not buy it. Anything under 2,000, I might buy it, because that's the budget for rent a car for us during 2 months in East Coast. And they started $100, $200, $300, and they stopped at $1,000. They said, $1,000, anyone? One, two. And she told me, come on, go. And I said, 1,100. And he started counting, one, two, three. Nobody raised the money, and we end getting this car. And it's 2003 Ford Taurus. It has like 35,000 miles. It's leather, fully loaded, sunroof, air conditioned, new tires. You know, the guy never used it, basically. And the stereo, and it's like brand new car, just 2003. And we praise the Lord, and we started driving the car. And I tried to make the story short. It's a long story, but it will be really the foundation of the message today. And we did registration for the car, and we got those inspection sticker. And after we finished the tour, in the last church, I told the pastor, hey, Pastor John, can I leave the car with you at your church? He said, of course, don't worry. And I can come next year and pick the car and take it for another, you know, tours around churches. And 2 months ago, we start preparing for the tour, and we arrive, and we find out that the registration we got
It was only for 2 months. And after 2 months, there is no way to register the car again under your name. And, you know, you need to tow this car to California if you really want it. You know, and I can't even sell it to anybody. And we start making calls, you know, going to offices and DMVs and AAA. We tried everything. And everybody say, no, sir. You only in Pennsylvania have 2 months. 2 months to take it to California or to register it here, you know, but it's expired in September last year. And nobody told us that. I'm not familiar with Pennsylvania rules. And we start searching how we can register this car. And while we are driving, my wife liked to record me while I'm driving, and she asked me a question in the beginning of our trip. What you will call our trip this year to East Coast? And the immediately, what it came to my mind is, it will be the trip of the impossible. Of the impossible. God wanted to do impossible stuff in your life. And God wanted to do miracles. Really. That's what God did in 3 years. You know, when you read the Bible carefully, Jesus was walking for 3 years. He teach and do what? Miracles. Healing. Raising the dead. Opens the eyes of the blind. Healing the lepers. He doing miracles every day. And that's what really attracted me to Christ. When I was Muslim, when I read the Bible, wow, you know, Muhammad never did any miracle. Muhammad is dead, but Jesus is alive. And I found myself very attractive to know Jesus more. And the more I read the Bible, guess what? I became a believer, and every day I believe Jesus can do miracles in your life. And we saw people every day in California while we're traveling. They're sharing miracles. And we're praying for people, and they got healed. My wife, last year, we were in a church. And a lady met us at the door, and she said she went to Egypt. She in love with Egyptian. And she said, could you please pray for my finger? I have infection for many years, and there is no healing for it. And my wife prayed for her while we were there, and we left. And while we are in the East Coast, we got a text saying, this lady has been healed from her infection. You know, the impossible year in your life. God wanted to do impossible stuff. People saying it's impossible. You know, it's like the Bible said, Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke 18, verse 27. And when she was recording me in the car, that's what God gave me. You know, it will be the impossible trip. And I have no idea. We will stuck with this car, you know. And really, when you talk with PA, DMV, and Tribble, everybody said, no, no. And we went to a dealer, and we said, let us go. Get just focus, pray, and get coffee, and see what the Lord will do. And my wife told me, let me call AAA again. And she got the phone, and she called the AAA, and she asked her, the lady, the same lady I spoke with, the same lady, she said, no. She said, you know what? Yeah, I think we can do one-way travel permit, something like that. And if you go to any other office, they should issue it for you. And my wife said, you know what? Let us go to the DMV, one of the offices. And same DMV, the same lady, we both were standing in her desk. She said, sir, I can't do it. It has been an issue for you for 2 months. You can't have another, permission or license. Again, same lady who went back, this lady, in fact, was not present. When we came back, another lady came. Her name is Curl. And she said, oh, what do you guys need? And we start sharing with her our what the AAA said. She said, of course, we can do it for you. Have a seat, and I will do it for you. And she started making paper, and we are sitting, waiting. And after 20 minutes, she said, hey, this is your new license. And here is the paperwork. In case anyone is stopping you, you show them that you are okay. And we took it, and we put the new license on the car, and we start praising God, you know? And this is impossible. This is what God wanted to do in your life and in my life. We need to speak faith. We need to push the resistance of Satan and believe and to speak faith over our life, over our kids, over our works. And here in Ezekiel chapter 37, I will be very briefly because I know there is baptism. In chapter 37, you guys know the story of the valley of dead bones. You know, the Lord presenting himself here in Ezekiel. Ezekiel, by the way, one of the hardest book in the Old Testament. But if you really read it carefully, you will be very excited about God. Because in chapter 1, in Ezekiel, Ezekiel was a priest. And he took, the Babylonian took him with all the Israelites as captivity in Babel, in Babylonian. And over there, he saw a vision. And the vision was really very interesting vision. Ezekiel chapter 1, to make it short, he saw in his vision wheels. First time for him to see God in this way. Wheels inside wheels. You know, that when I was reading this chapter, I was laughing because reminding me was the car, because the car has four wheels, you know. And here, Ezekiel see God, the four creatures, in chapter 1. If you read verse 15, chapter 1, 15. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. And if you go to verse 16, the appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of pearl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their working was it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they moved, they went toward any one of the four creatures. They did not turn aside when they went. And verse 19, again, and verse 20, when wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went because there is the spirit went. And the wheels were lifted together with them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Did you notice the words wheels? And the spirit were in the wheels. Spirit. God is working. This is the picture the Holy Spirit gave it to Ezekiel about God. God is wheels. And the Spirit of God is in the wheels. Everything in God is moving. God is working. You're thinking Satan is working, but God wanted to tell you this morning, I am working. My wheels working for you and for you and for you. My Holy Spirit is working in your life. Even you thinking I'm not working, I'm still working. I'm working behind the scene. And you will see the work of God in your life. How many times you got devastated and you say, Lord, you know, I am in terrible situation, you know. Problem with family. Problem with your kids. Problem financially. Problem with your family. You know, at work. Many problems around you. And you're thinking, where is God? God is telling Ezekiel, I am like a wheel. And this wheel is moving to free you, to touch you. And if you open your heart for my work, if you receive me, if you accept me, I will work in your life. My wheels will come and they will change your life completely. And that's what happened in Ezekiel 37. What happened is God took Ezekiel to the valley of the dry bone and told him, son, what do you think about son of man? Just why he called him son of man in this chapter 37? Because this is how human will look to the dry bones. From a human perspective, they are dry bones. There is no hope. He told him, son of man, is those bones in verse 11. You know, if you, I didn't want it to read the whole chapter, but we will pick on the wheels and how the wheels of God is working. He told him, son of man, he passed me by them all around, in verse 2. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry, dead. It's not just bones. It's not bodies of people. Bones are dead, broken, disconnected. There is no meaning for their life. They are gone. But the Holy Spirit told Ezekiel, son of man, what do you think about those bones? Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? So I answer, O Lord, O God, you know. I love Ezekiel. He looks at the situation. Lord, I don't know. I don't know how it can happen. I don't know. But the question God is asking you and me, there is no hope in your life. And Satan keep whispering, you're gone. It's in. You know, there is no hope for you. Like just dry bones. But God sending his wheels and the Spirit of God in the wheels. And God is working. And he told Ezekiel, those bones are crushed, are gone. But in verse 11, those are example of the Israelite. He told him, he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, and you can take this applicable to yourself. They say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. And we ourselves are cut off. Is that what you feel today, this morning? And you said maybe you have a sickness, you have a disease, you have a cancer, you have something in your lungs, you have something in your back, and for many years, and your bones are dry, and Satan is telling you, our bones are dry, our hope is lost. Is that what you're feeling about yourself? The good news is God told Ezekiel, can these bones live? He took him through those bones. You can imagine you're going through bones, valley of dry bones. And God told Ezekiel, what do you think? What do you think? God wanted Ezekiel to face the issue. I don't know what you have. I don't know what is your dry bones here. If it's sickness, financial, family issue. You have no hope, you know. God is telling you, face it, son of man. But I have good news for you. Can these bones live? Son of man, that's showing us the limitation of human being. As a human, nobody can save anyone. Nobody can heal you. Nobody can change you. The only one can do that is Jesus Christ. He's the one can heal you, can change you. You know, and that's what happened to my life one day. I was a dry bones. I was Muslim. And I remember when I went to the conference, first time in my life, in a Christian conference, and I heard the preacher say, Jesus can change you. Jesus can change your heart, change your life. It touched me. That's the message of hope. Can these bones be alive? The answer is, he told them, you know, Lord, but the answer in this chapter is, yes, these bones can be alive. And at the end of the story, do you know what happened? After Ezekiel started prophesying over those bones start feeling like electricity in those bones and start moving and start coming parts together. The hand come here and, you know, the feet in its place. And the Bible said they stand as a great army of the Lord. See, this story is not just a story. That's a real story. It's a real story. Do you know how I know? Because Israel is raised. Israel done. They destroyed the temple. They destroyed the city of David, Jerusalem, for many years. But because of this prophecy, God said, I will raise those dry bones, and there will be great army. Guess what? In 1948, Israel stand. Resurrection happened to Israel, and Israel became the most strong nation in the whole world, even stronger than U.S. You know, military, you can imagine. You guys does not know anything about persecution. You are spoiled here in America. This country, Israel, surrounded by 28 Muslim nations. They wanted to destroy her, but nobody can touch us because God prophesied before and he raised them as a great army, you know. And that's what happened to me. You know, at the conference, I take a side and I said, Lord, if this guy telling the truth, if you can raise me, if you can change me again, I will follow you. And boom, like a shower, a Holy Spirit came, like this prophecy. You know, electricity come and start refreshing the bones and moving the bones. And here is what the Bible said. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And those bones start having skin and flesh, and the body starts standing. You can imagine, this is incredible scene that Ezekiel saw. And they became a great army. And that's what's happening today in Israel. You guys going to Israel? You know, you saw Israel? It's the most safest country than the United States. I will not worry about my life in Israel, but I can worry about my life here, you know, because they have raising from the... That's a true story. And today, I don't know what is going on in your life, but I know one thing. God wanted to do the impossible in your life. He wanted to raise you. He wanted to change you. He wanted to work in you with the Holy Spirit. And he wanted you, listen to this, he wanted you to listen to the noise of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wanted to make noise in your life. And that's what happened to me. You know, after I became Christian, in this conference, I received the Holy Spirit, and everything was shaking in me like those bones. And I start speaking in tongues. And I'm in Presbyterian church, not Calvary Chapel, you know, not Pentecostal church. And I made noise, you know. Everywhere I go, I will go to the bus and stand, hey, guys, have you heard about Jesus? And the whole bus starts looking. Noise. When God raised you, there is what? Noise. God does not like quietness. Only when you pray, you know, you're special. Even sometimes when you pray, God wanted you to make noise. Did you ever see that? You wanted to shout, praise the Lord. You wanted to scare Satan. That's why in every church, I ask people to stand and shout. You know, people in games and champion, they stand and shout. That is the noise. God wanted to give you noise. And then he will cover you with skin, with new life. And you will stand as a great army for the Lord. My friend, I made big noise in Egypt. And guess what? They arrested me, put me in prison, the worst prison in Egypt, solitary confinement. You know, and all prisoners succumbing through a small window, asking, why you are here? And I start saying to them, a Muslim became a Christian. And the whole prison heard the message. And guess what? They called me Bishop Muhammad. That's my nickname. Because I make noise. Can you make noise at your work, at your college, in your family? Can you make noise? Or you'll be a chicken. Make noise. You know, when you go to supermarket, talk with people. Stop people. Make noise. It's good noise. It's saving noise. You know, last year, everywhere, me and my wife, when we go, we stop people and talk to them. We have no fear. I don't know why Americans are afraid. You know, what is the worst case scenario? Even if they put you in prison, your prison here is good. It's a hotel. What are you afraid of? You are not in Mexico or in Middle East, you know. The prison there is prison, you know. But you are in America, they will give you good food, clean food. You will have a TV. They will treat you like a hotel. Don't be afraid. Make noise. That's why when the Holy Spirit comes in the life of a person, I guarantee to you, he will not be silent anymore. You remember the early church? In Acts chapter 2, all the disciples, 150, they're praying, Lord, where is your promise? And what happened? Boom, the Holy Spirit. Read chapter 2 in Acts. And they're making noise. The whole people around them succumbing to the upper room. What's going on? What do those people do? They start making noise. And their life changed, and they changed the life of people. That's what the Lord wanted to do in your life. And guess what? It's up to you. It's up to me. I received the noise of the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, I wanted to make noise. I wanted everybody to know you. I wanted to be an instrument in your hand to save people, to save Muslims, to save other people. We were in the supermarket, me and my wife, last year, and everywhere we go, we stop people. Hi, how are you? My name is Daniel. My name is Janine. And do you mind if we pray for you? You know, we didn't have anyone said no except maybe one or two in the whole 2 months in East Coast. And one day I was shopping and coming out. I'm in hurry and tried to get the food to the car. And the Holy Spirit told me, see this guy? I wanted you to talk with him about me. I told him, sir, how are you doing today? He said, okay. I told him, you know, do you mind if I pray for you? And he said, okay. And I started praying with him, and he started crying. And I told him, why are you crying? He said, because I was planning to take my life today.
And you stopped me.
And you praying for me. And I started encouraging him. And I called my wife. She came. We started praying for this guy. You see his face change. We make noise in his life. The noise you make, it give life to those dry bones. You know, don't underestimate prayers. Don't underestimate saying to someone, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Give someone a Bible.
Church,
today is the day of good news. And God wanted to use you for the impossible. Are you ready to make noise for the Lord? You wanted to receive the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, those dry bones were silent. Dry bones, broken bones, disconnected, no joy. Everybody looks, they're all dead. Did you ever see even Christians, they are dead. Even they're moving, but they're dead. You know, stuff is dead in their life. The Spirit. I guarantee you, if you open your heart, just where you are right now, say, Lord, come with your wheels. And you will see how God will use you. God will give you wheels. Wheels. Sometimes even my wife got surprised. How I do this ministry day after day. She tried to stop me sometimes, telling me, take rest. But it's the will of God. The Holy Spirit, the will of God, will use you to change all the people around you if you receive from Him what He planned for you. Okay? Let us spend time in prayer. Close your eyes and read this story again in your quiet time with the Lord. In verse 10, God called. He said, come, spirits, wind from the four winds. The Holy Spirit come as a wind. You know, like He told Nicodemus, you know, when you get born again, it's like a wind come to you. A wind, changing wind, sweet wind. Sometimes it's noisy wind, changing wind. And while we are praying, I wanted to ask you a question. Why do you think those dry bones became dry bones? The answer is one word, sin. Because Israel disobeyed God. Israel worshiped other gods. I didn't know who you worship. I don't know what is the secret in your life, you know, but that's sin. Sin destroyed Israel, destroyed the city of David, destroyed Jerusalem. Everything burned because disobedience. Today, I wanted you to do a very simple thing like I did 35 years ago. I repent. I said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive my sins. The Lord will speak to you now because He is here. The Holy Spirit is here. The wheels is here. And the Holy Spirit in the wheels, working. He will reveal to you your sin. When He speaks to you about your sin, just be honest with Him and tell Him, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me this sin. And keep asking forgiveness for your sins, and God will start working in your heart. You remember Jesus when He saw the disciple after resurrection? He breathed on them like this and told them, receive the Holy Spirit. Can you do your hand like this? I wanted you to open your hand like this. Just open your hand. Tell Him, Lord, I receive your Holy Spirit. Can you say after me, Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit. Forgive my sin. I accept you in my life. Come, Holy Spirit, change me. Change me, Lord. I need your power in my life. Heal me, Lord, from my sin. I follow you, Lord, today. I will follow you every day in my life. Don't be ashamed of God. Pray loud. Pray loud. Say, Lord, I will follow you. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Surrender your life, my friend. Let the impossible be possible in your life. you will see it. And you will see it even today, because God is real. The dry bone stand as a great army. They became a great army. Accept you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I feel some of you were real in the prayer, you know, and I guarantee you, you will see the wheels in your life. Big wheels. Holy Spirit will move. Amen. God bless you, church. I will be outside with my wife.